whatever, save it.
My turn?
Yeah.
Okay. No, again, the alumni coming at both 11 and 12:30, so you can just stay around if you don't have a class at 11, or come back at 12:30. But I think it would be a good idea for all of you to.
So are they going to talk all the way through?
I think so. I mean, there's four or five of them. One was iffy that are coming. And they're just going to talk about what they do.
Can I ask what companies or whatever?
I wish I could tell you. I don't remember. Okay.
What time are we done here?
Huh?
What time are we done here? What time is this class over?
Quarter of 11.
So we could just stay.
Yeah, right. Okay. I had meant to look at this before and I forgot. So we're going to just look at this again. You know that set of donor ones that I did with the drive and the donation? This is one where I combined it all into one cursor. And I had meant to talk about that before. I think this one is easier with the two cursors, but this is a way of combining it all into one cursor. So I started out and I said select drive.drive number, because drive number is on both tables. So I had to tell it which. So drive.drive number, drive name, and contribution amount from drive and donation, where the drive number on donation is equal to the drive number on drive, and I want to honor them by drive, so that they're sequentially in order by drive. So then I said, okay, so now I've just got it in one cursor. Okay, so all of the information is in one cursor. So I said, now open that cursor and fetch into the V name. So that was basically the same that I did before, okay, except that now I'm doing it in two cursors. I mean, one cursor instead of two. Before, I had the drive number and the drive name coming from one place, and the contribution amount was on the donation table. Okay, but here they're both in the same cursor. Okay, so I've combined them. Then what I need to do is I need to know when the drive number changes, because I'm trying to get a total for each drive, so I got to know when the drive number changes. So the way I set it up and the way I like to style-wise is with a hold. Other people might choose something else, but I chose to do it with a hold drive number. So as soon as I did the fetch, I moved the drive number to the hold drive number. Now this is an initializing fetch. All my other fetches are done down below. So this is the first time, first record, read the first record in the cursor and immediately take that drive number and initialize hold drive number with whatever is the first drive number in the cursor. And that's a one-time thing, okay? So then I said, while drive donation cursor is found, loop. Okay, so that's the loop that's going to control quitting. Okay, and then within that, I want to actually loop through all of the ones that have the same drive number. So I said, set the total amount to zero, because I want the total amount to accumulate for each drive number. So set it to zero, and then while V drive number equals hold drive number. Okay. While I am matching to the hold, and remember on the first record I put the hold in. Now I'm looking for a match on the hold. Okay, so I'm saying while there's a match, so let's say drive 100 was the first one, and I'll stay at drive 100. So while there's a match and the drive donation cursor is found. Now when I first wrote this, I just had this while saying while V drive number equals hold drive number. And what happened was that it never quit. I ended up with it going on and processing the last record forever. So I saw the last record, it finally crashed when the last record got too high. So when I first wrote this, I just had said, okay, V drive number equal to whole drive number. And as I said, it just kept processing because the V drive number was equal to the whole drive number. I didn't get out right. So I added the AND drive donation cursor found, which means don't keep processing after you run out of records. Okay? And then I said, okay, within the loop, add to the amount. And I put out a DBMS line that showed the VCont amount and the whole drive number. And then I did another fetch. So what I'm doing in this loop is basically just adding to the total. And I put out a line to show where I was, but that's not really a part of the necessary process. And so when I get to the point that I no longer have a match, but I've still got records to go, I drop out and I do an insert into the record that we were doing. And I have to do an insert of whole drive number because drive number has changed. I've read a new record that caused a break. There's a break that's happening when the drive number changes. And I need to take the old drive number because I've been accumulating the total for the old drive for 100. So I write out the value, whole drive number, drive name, cont amount. And then as soon as I've done that insert, I now take that new drive number and put it in the hold area. So I put the 200, let's say it is, into the hold area, end the loop, and I go back up and I come in here, it's still found, set the cont amount to 0, and loop through the 200s. Adding the 200s to the total. And when I read the first 300, I drop out of that inner loop, write the insert, and reset the whole drive number to 300, and go back and process the 300s. Questions?
I have a question. I'm just wondering. Could you have done this with just a simple loop and if? Or rather, like, not simple, but loop in and then if the drive cursor is found and then if the whole drive number equals the drive number again, then exit?
Yeah, I think I could have. I would have, at that point, though, wanted to be sure I reset this, but I could have put that down here. After I reset the whole drive, I could have put the total down there and reset the total. I think what you described works, yes. I mean, hand a problem like this to 10 programmers and you're going to get 10 different solutions.
I just want to make sure I'm understanding it correctly. So
yeah.
It sounds like this. It's going to go through the loop as long as the whole number doesn't match the drive number.
Right.
Once it does, it's done.
Right.
That sounds way easier than
So you're just saying, no, but I mean, I just had this to get out, but And actually, when I wrote it, as I said, originally when I wrote it, I didn't have that part in there. I didn't have the check for the final in there. And then when it ran, I said, oops, because it ran fine, but except that it never quit.
Yeah.
Because the whole drive number and the drive number were the same, because I just reset the whole drive number. And so they were the same. And it just kept going forever. So I had to go back and add that clause in there. And when I added that clause, that would have got me out with end of file. Try that. Not right now, but try it. Try going through and making that change. But you've got the code here.
Yeah.
Go ahead, go through it and make the changes and see what else you can come up with. Because as I said, you give it to 10 programmers, you're going to get 10 different solutions.
Beautiful thing about programming.
you know, that's the interesting part of programming, is there is no one solution.
Sometimes I can be the downfall. Hey, yeah, look at mine. It has nothing. They don't even look the same.
No, right. And that's why when two people pass in the same solution, it's a fairly obvious, excuse me. Okay, so that is, and then, as I said, try that, and we'll look at it again on Thursday, but I'd like you to try it. I started to think I could do it up here, and then I thought, nah, I'm going to let you try it and see what you can come up with. Okay, but that goes with the ones that we looked at, that were the drive and the drive and the donation one, and I was using two curses. And I was using one cursor to control the drive, and that was the big outer one. And then the inner one was controlling the donations that matched to that drive. And I was opening and closing, if you remember, the cursor, so that the donation cursor kept getting reopened. You all look like you're not sure you remember that, yes? I'm going to just bring it up again for a second.
You know, I actually started to feel more comfortable with cursors than SQL itself.
Okay. This is the wire, though. Okay. So this one is the one that I had done before, and I have the two cursors, the drive cursor and the donation cursor. I open the drive cursor just once, and it stays open. But the donation cursor, and this part, as I said, could be eliminated. I open the donation cursor, I use it, and then I close the donation cursor. Okay, and then I go back up and reopen it. And so I'm always opening the donation cursor and getting the things that match. So this was very similar, but it was using two cursors as opposed to using one cursor. Okay. So when I finish and do the insert, I close the donation cursor, and then when I reopen it, okay, when I reopen it, it reopens and finds another drive. So when I finish with drive 100, it gets closed. I reopen it and it's drive 200. When I finish that, it gets closed. I reopen it's drive 300. So that's the way that that one worked. Okay. So now we're going to move on. And actually, I didn't put the rest of the notes in, and we may get to those. We did introduction to procedures last week. We started looking at introduction to functions. Okay, so quickly as a review, you create or replace the procedure and you have to run it so that the procedure gets created. If you don't create the procedure, then it's not usable. And that's my biggest error, is that I go and I make a change to the procedure and then I forget to recreate it. And so it runs the old version. Okay, because if I don't recreate it, it's got the executable that's the old version. And when you get into changing it, you forget that you got to recreate it. So I've got my procedure, and then I've got my program that calls the procedure. And so I'm saying, go out and call the procedure by saying, if PON amount is greater than 20, call add donation. And when I get add donation is taking it in and doing an insert. Okay, so it's doing the processing there. And we talked about the in, the out, and the in out, which controls how you send things. So there are three modes, in, out, and in out. Okay. Okay, in sends the parameters from the calling procedure, out passes to and receives from the procedure, and in out does both. I think I just said that wrong. Out is gets it back to the calling program. And this lovely little thing is in the way again. Okay. In sends the parameter from the calling program to the procedure. Out sends the parameters from the procedure back to the calling program. And in out passes to and receives from the procedure. And that first one, I didn't do anything with in outs. But then I came down and did the in and the out and the in out, and we played with that in class, where if you sent something and put an out on it, it wasn't received because the out doesn't do that. Okay, so we played around with that. And now I think I'm going to move this back. So then we went on and looked at functions, and the difference in a function versus a procedure is that with a function, what the call to the function tells you what you're going to get returned. So I'm saying, go to function calc 1, send it the VID number. Whatever it returns gets assigned to VNewGo. So a procedure can do a lot of stuff. It cannot return stuff. It can just do work. It can pass things back and forth. With a function, you're going out and specifically doing one thing. It gets returned and sent here. So a function is used a lot for, I've got a complex calculation, and I'm just going to put it in a function. And whenever I need to do that calculation, I'll call the function, and it will give me back the answer. Okay, so that's what you can do with a function. So I said here, again, call the function, send it the VID number, and when it comes back, I'm going to print it out with a DBMS line. And so when I look at the function, which is up here, I created it with the create or replace function. The thing in parentheses after that is the thing that I'm sending to it. Then the return number is what I'm returning is return donation. Okay. And actually, I've got a V quant amount in there, and I usually reverse those. Because it looks like the return number is going to be, but it's not. I can mix and match in the work areas. But it would have probably made more sense to put the V return donation as the first one. So return number is V return donation, because that's where I'm returning. And then this was just a work area that I was using. And so put that in down below. And it would have made more sense to reverse those. But it works fine. It just would have made sense looking at it, because it looks like V quant amount is what I'm returning, and that's not what I'm returning. I'm returning V return donation. Okay, so I called this, I sent the ID. It is then going in and getting the contribution amount from the new donation one table for that particular ID. And then I said, okay, if the contribution amount is greater than 10, then double it. Okay, if the contribution amount is not, I'm multiplying it 1 by 4, 5, and I'm doing the return. And obviously the return could have been after the NDF, and then I would have only had to do the return once. So it puts something into V return donation, and whatever is returned, and I use the return to actually return it, I use the return verb, gets returned and becomes V new goal. So down in the regular program, I write out V new goal. Questions? Okay, you two, what's the question? You're hamming it up here.
No, 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 I get it.
Promise or anything.
I figure it out. I mean, you know, it looks like, you know, I get from begin to end, the function and all that. But, I don't know, I just never really feel comfortable with it until I start playing with it, I guess.
That's right. Absolutely. So, go ahead.
Oh, right now? You got some time for it right now?
No, I mean, go ahead. Sure, why not? You know what? I didn't put out the pen, so I can't do my little drawer. Yeah, go ahead. Bring it up and do the function. Because we've got actually plenty of time now before the end of the semester, so we have time that we can actually play with these things.
Yeah, it means I'm going to go home with a lot of questions.
I have to plan the semester that I'm going to get sick and it's going to snow. So if you plan for that and it doesn't snow and I don't get sick, then we have extra days at the end.
I missed Putty. I got on the USGO Plus.
Putty's on here.
Huh?
Putty's on this machine.
I know. I'm just saying, I was using SQL Plus before.
Yeah.
But now that Putty's working again.
Okay.
I just missed it.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody but Syl talk wax enthusiastic about Putty before you came along.
Absolutely.
Syl waxes enthusiastic about Putty too.
I just think it's so much, not that it's so much easier, I'm used to it.
That's the thing.
Like, SQL Plus, for example, when you go to actually copy and paste a script in, it brings you with a notepad, and if you don't close out that notepad, you're not doing nothing in SQL. I'm sitting here like, what did I do wrong?
it's a different editor. And if you're just doing this one, if you don't have a new donation one, then you're going to have to make a copy. Or change this to from donation. From donation, but I think because I use it lots of times, it's easy to just make a copy of donation and call it new donation one. From donation.
The simple things you forget. There we go.
And that's the reason why I don't give closed book exams, because I'd flunk them too.
just that there's just so much that you're not really thinking of when you go to do it. So yeah. Looking it up is just easier.
That's right. And if I have to look things up, and I've done it for years, then it makes sense that you have to look things up. And in fact, that's an important part of this whole thing, is being able to look things up and figure it out.
Yeah, me too.
That's okay. Don't worry about it, as long as you get something back.
I got a different donation from you, too.
And probably different from me if I were to go in.
My function returned errors, so...
Did you also create your function?
Wait, you mean the script?
Add sign the name of the function and create it. I'm not sure I showed it.
Yes, created a copy of donation 2, and that was it.
Where'd your error come
from? Right here is what it says. Warning, function created with compilation errors.
Okay, so what did you do wrong with the function?
Wait a second. There's gotta be one I'm doing wrong. So create or replace function, the name of the function. Does that need to match the name of the function that we initialized this pad with?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, create or replace function, and you want that to be the name of the function, which is the same one you use when you did the edit. When you said edit, you said the name of the function, and you want this to be the same name as that. So I said edit func_calc1, and now create or replace function func_calc1.
That
would do it. Yeah, the whole series of things that I named on this particular set is, you know, it worked now?
Yeah. So you definitely have to have those authority names.
Yep.
Same name.
So edit function calculate_calculate1 and then create or replace function func_calculate1. Yes.
I got an error for this because I just don't have one of the columns on my table. I don't have a new goal.
No.
Well, new goal isn't on your table.
No, yeah, I don't have that either.
New goal is...
It says it's not declared in your
actual... It's the type of condom out I gave it. I gave it the type of condom out, but I didn't give it the type of new goal, so it doesn't expect it to be there.
I made this one.
Oh, no, I mean like the entire thing.
What did you do?
Wait. I think it's to declare. My declare is on the same one.
Yeah.
I mean, new goal is just a work area that I'm going to then put out in the DBMS. So I said it's newdonation1.condomount. It's the same type as condomount. I didn't say the same type as the new goal, or new goal, or something like that.
Exact vector turns more than requested numbers of row. Right. I found out why I didn't like my new
How are you doing? Has everybody got it working?
Function was created. I am going to try to use the function.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1. Invalid line number. Work for some of them, not all.
It works for some of them and not like all of them.
I did 1-1-1-1-1. It gave me a result. I did 1-2-1-2-1 and it said invalid line number. But I'm looking right at 1-2-1-2. Maybe I have two of them. Let me try three.
Yeah, you can only have one.
Yeah, alright, so if it's one, they work.
Right, because if there's two, it wouldn't bring it back.
I got it.
I'm only bringing one thing back.
No, I know why it wasn't
working.
Little things. It was
confusing. Yeah, right. You've got to have a unique ID number here because it is going to the select is going to return multiple records. If not, and if you want multiple records returned, you've got to have a cursor set up to hold the multiple records. So yes, you can only test it
with unique.
And I believe that my version of donation that I used on this just had one record per person. And so it worked just fine. Because I only had one record per ID. And so mine worked fine no matter what I put in. But if you have multiples, you'd have to set up a cursor to receive them. So yours is working now?
Yeah.
How about yours? I thought you said a few minutes ago where'd it go?
The function's created, but the function's not working. I'm getting error when I execute it. Returns more than a requested number of rows.
So you should, again, you can only put in an ID that only has one record. Because that's what it sounds like that is, if you're getting more rows. You can only put an ID. If you look at the example that I did.
Well, that's what I'm using.
But my table.
Oh.
Look at your table. And if the ID number appears there twice, then you can't use the ID. My IDs, I've only got unique IDs.
I see.
But if you use a ID that appears more than once, then you need to put it into a cursor.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I'm glad
I'm done.
This.
I'm leaving.
I did this version of new donation, only had one donation per ID, and so it worked fine. But if you use a donation that has two per ID or three per ID, then the return from the select has to go into a cursor.
And sometimes these error messages make it seem like there's something wrong with it rather than you just have too many ID numbers with that.
Right. Well, do you ever go and look up the error number? Because they give you more information if you go look up the error message.
For example, it says too many rows. So when I was thinking about rows, I'm like, all right, maybe I'm trying to get too much from this.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, she said two of the same.
Too many rows, exactly. Too many rows being returned.
But when I was looking at it, I wasn't thinking about the actual ID number being the row. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, all right, this is why sometimes I ask, like, how did I even get this far?
Well, as I've told you, when I learned to program, I graduated from college as an economics major. Okay? So, whatever.
To talk about a change.
Yes. And the summer of my, before my senior year, I'd worked in a place that used computers, and I thought, oh, this sounds like fun. I'm going to be a programmer. And so they hired me, and they sent me to school for approximately a week and a half to learn COBOL. And I came back. And COBOL's still around, folks. And in fact, you know, COBOL programmers are all my age, so at some point they're going to either have to get rid of COBOL or hire some new people. But anyway, I went and they sent me for about a week and a half, and then they said, go back and start, you know, okay, start learning your living.
You're all set.
And, you know, I graduated from college thinking I was reasonably smart. I finished that week and a half thinking I was totally stupid because I didn't understand. Yeah, just, you've got to be kidding me.
I learned this for a week and I come back with the work.
That's right.
What do you mean?
And luckily my desk was next to my boss's desk. So I had a guy that could teach me to do this. And there were three of us that had been sent to that class. And we all just sat around his desk. The poor guy got nothing to done. Because we all just, you know, sat around his desk asking questions constantly.
Can only imagine it.
Huh?
Can only imagine. It definitely wasn't Google. There was no Google.
That's right. There was so, none of that.
I remember.
There was none of that where you looked it up. You looked up things in manuals.
Yeah.
And if you ever looked up things in manuals, you know how clear and concise they are. And so that's where you had to go.
You could have been reading the whole time. You're like, all right, where's this problem? It's like,
oh, I remember that.
So those were the days. Okay, Mike and Jeff, do you have these done? Did you get the function working?
No.
Oh, okay, my. Look at
I
me.
I have to reset the whole thing. All funny.
How about you? Did you get the function working okay?
Oh, dude, it's, what's the set line size
here? Set line size, what is it?
Okay.
Line size is compound work.
And that really finishes this up.
Too.
Okay, the next one, if you're redoing it, I'm going to move on, and you can do it at some point, okay? Internal procedures. So here is where I can put a procedure inside and make it an internal procedure. And I'm going to tell you that when I do this, when I create a procedure, I always make it an internal procedure, even if I want it to be an external, and get it working with the procedure, because then it's all one thing. And then after it's working, I copy and paste it into an external and make it itself. But I start out this way because then I don't have to go back and forth between two things. Okay, I've got it right there. So in the internal procedure, I start out and I say declare, and I declare all the stuff. And then I put the procedure in right under declare. So the procedure is going into the declare. Okay, so I've got procedure, add one process. It is set up the same way that I set up the procedure if it's external, but it is now set up internally. And then after I've got it done, I go down and I do the begin for the regular program. Okay, so I've just plunked the procedure. Instead of having it external, I've just plunked it into the middle, into the declare. Okay, so I put it in, I declare my variables, and then I declare, put in procedure in the declare. And so when it goes and does it, it is going and doing the internal procedure and executing it. Okay, now, the variables that I declared on the outside of the procedure are available to the procedure. Variables that I declare in the procedure are only available in the procedure. Okay, they're only available to the procedure. Okay. Okay, so here I wanted a V new condom mount. I want to come up with, actually, let me go back up because I don't think I took a picture of this one. And then we'll go back down. Okay, on this one, my turn. Where is it? On this one, I declared a variable called the new condom out, which I can then use in the procedure, and I could use it outside too, but I basically said, go to the procedure, send it these things, okay? So I'm sending it the V ID number, the V drive number, and the V condom out. And when I get there, I do a calculation based on V new condom out, yeah.
So the procedure acts in place of like a fetch?
No. Procedure is just doing a routine. A fetch is taking a record out of a cursor. So a fetch is getting a record out of a cursor. The procedure is doing a routine. Now, was there any need for a procedure here? Absolutely not. I could have written it all in one program, but then I wouldn't have got to show you how to do a procedure, okay? So, you know, sometimes I have these convoluted things going on, but it's only so that you can... And it's just, it's very concise.
Now, what would you do? Would you use a procedure in this situation?
No. No.
So what would a procedure primarily, you say, would be best, like, interest to use?
Well, I'd use a procedure in a program that was far more complex, where there were five different situations, let's say, where I needed to do this piece of code. And so then you don't want to write that piece of code five times. You make it a procedure, and then you just execute it five times. And that's the main reason for doing a procedure. The other reason that I think you do a procedure is if you keep the main line of the program, the big picture, then you can follow the flow of the program better. And when I've got a bunch of stuff to do, go do it in a procedure. And so the main line stays clean and gives you the big picture of exactly what's happening. The details are being done off in a procedure. And if you're having a problem with the details, you go to the right procedure and look at it. But the main program, that's one reason why I like procedures.
And you can update the table within the procedure. So
yeah, absolutely. And that's what I did here.
But that's just temporary, though, right? Like, once you're done, it doesn't actually modify the table itself.
Oh, yeah, that's an insert. That's permanent. An insert modifies the table. So that's permanent.
Huh? That can be an update, you know?
Update is permanent. Update is permanent. Delete's permanent. Well...
So with the procedure, you mean... Right?
Not if you can. You can roll back. Yeah.
Right. Well, you save it first.
No. No.
Okay. Permanent isn't the right word. Insert actually inserts the record. So it does it. And as he said, you're right. You can roll it back if you haven't committed it. Okay? But the insert actually puts the record on there. And so the record is there. Okay? Now, depending on the version of Oracle you're using, commit becomes more or less important. The version that I had installed at home, I never had to do a commit. It would always commit it. I could still do a rollback, but it would keep it there. It wouldn't. Whereas the one that's installed here, if you don't commit, the data... flies away.
Yeah.
Okay? So, but no, this insert is actually inserting a record. And if I want to make sure that I do a commit, one of the things to do is to do the commit when you get, you know, in the procedure, which I've done a few times, which means that when I leave this program, I've committed everything that I've done. Okay, so there is a procedure being embedded. And What I did here was just doing the Venue kind of out in a variety of places. One of them I did it in the procedure. Here I did the V kind of out down here in the actual main program. And it either one works. And yeah, no, these are all basically the same. So look through them, but they're all basically slight variations on the same theme. Okay, then the next one, if I go back to notes and handouts, and I'll have to copy and paste that in, talks about internal procedures and functions. So basically, I took and put a function into this and a procedure, and I can do both of them. Okay, so I've got this program, and embedded into the declare, I've got a function, and embedded into the declare, I also have a procedure. Okay, so I've embedded them both here, and I came down below. And I said, if V cont amount is greater than 500, then make the V code EX and go and do the function call calculate new dome and send it the V code, which is EX, and the V cont amount. So it sends it up here and it receives both the code and the cont amount, and I didn't have to put them on the same line, but they're there. And I have a return number is the F new cont amount. And I said, okay, if the code is EX, then take the cont amount and multiply it by 1.3 to get the new one. If it's a different code, do a different multiply. And I return the F cont amount. And then it gets it back, and at one point it says, okay, go and do add new donut. Okay, so down here at the bottom, it goes and says, go and do the add new donut, which does simply the insert. So I have an insert in a procedure, and I go do that, and it does the insert. Okay, so take what you just finished doing and take your function now and make it an internal function. So as opposed to making it the external, which you did, go change your function and make your function an internal function. And Mike, you can work on getting the thing and do it this way if you want, and then make it an external later on.
Very quick.
Up to 500.
It would only be up to 500.
Yeah, because it's an else.
Oh.
And if it's greater than 500, it's not going to drop through to the else. That's right. Only the things that are not greater than 500 drop to the else. Okay. So take your function and put it in as an internal function. So go back to that previous program.
So,
whatever function you did before, you did a function before, right?
Yeah, the one that we were just doing.
Right, so now make it internal instead of external and make sure you can get it to run.
So this should all be able to run off of one file rather than two, right?
Exactly. So what I've got here is I've got my declare, and I put my variables in there. And then I've got next a function. And then I've got next a procedure. And then I have the begin, which is the main program. And it can call the procedure. And it can call the function. So it does a call to the function, and then it does a call to the procedure. Okay, so that's the structure that I'm looking at. And again, unless I was going to do a lot more, I would write this in one program, but then we don't get to play with it.
No, I'm just looking at this and it's literally telling me to say declare external function. I didn't know that was a good thing. It's on that. Hope it works though. It says it. Because if not, I'm going to get it. External function.
Notice the difference. I don't have the create or replace or anything when I write the procedure and the function. I just gave the function a name and the procedure a name. Okay, I don't have the create or replace thing that I had when it was mixed up.
So I'm actually going to put the clear external function.
So I'm just taking the function and putting it in here.
Yeah.
And you can keep the same name on it, but it just says function, or just says procedure.
This page of the notes and handouts?
Yeah.
It's more dogs on a PLS field.
More procedures and functions. I forgot to copy it over to you a week of. I'll do that tonight, but it's over there under notes and procedures. Notes and handouts. anybody got it working?
I haven't got it written.
I can get that to work. That's a pretty simple copy and paste, yeah, but what I'm doing is not that simple.
Oh, it is. You're copying your own stuff and pasting it. It's a copy and paste.
I feel like that's not, it doesn't just work like that.
Well, first of all, it's a function that you're doing. I didn't say do the procedure. If you want to, have a good time.
No, I'm taking
the
procedure, right? That's what you wanted.
What?
So you wanted us to take information.
The function that you wrote before. Okay. Before, you wrote a main program and a function, external function. Yeah. And I want you to take that external function, put it inside the main program, which turns it into an internal function. And I didn't ask you to do a procedure.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. I was saying, using the wrong word.
I've been known to do that.
Yeah, using the wrong word. So that's what I meant. So the return number.
I would
pretty much be just copying it from the return number. It's just,
yeah, you're taking whatever function you did and copy it into the declare.
Control Z.
And just change that top line, and I think that's the only thing you have to change.
That's broken. Trust me, I didn't broken a lot of times.
Yeah, no, every time I tried getting out of it, it would just keep putting a new number, and it would just go down the list. I made it to 69 before I got this done.
Oh, goody. Could not add the attachments into your notebook file. Where have we seen that one before? So now I get the homework of, okay. That's the only thing I actually wrote on the board, so this will be easy. Well, I know what I'm doing later today. Okay, so you're adding in a procedure also.
Okay, so don't.
If you want to, have a good time, but that's not what I asked you to do.
Okay.
I asked you to just put a function in.
Okay.
Because that's the one, you hadn't written a procedure, I guess you did last week, but that was a whole week ago.
Yeah, no, I just stopped there then. Don't want any extra credit, no.
Well, this is experiment time, so feel free. So, you got it working? Anybody?
Mine is so messed up, it wouldn't even let me run it. It just disconnected me from work.
Yeah, you kind of have to be careful.
Okay.
Eventually, or Putty will start saying batch files are unreadable and stuff.
I guess I don't see where the problem is. So I don't understand.
Yeah, see, look.
See?
You see what I'm saying? I got stuck in a loop, and now it won't let me pull up the,
Okay, now wait a minute. Introduction to functions. So this was your main program right here, right? Calc, Func, Calc?
Yeah.
SQL Plus, we're doing too.
He had the right idea. He's in. I'm not getting stuck in there.
He's like,
Pete. Well, he was early today.
He was early.